But like we always do, I want to bow in prayer now and ask God to guide us as we look at his word. Now, Father, thank you for this special occasion. And I just say thank you for all that's been happening in our service, including the choir singing a beautiful song. We thank you for all the different parts of all the different people doing different things. And thank you for our musicians and for the songs we could sing this morning. And Father, thank you so much for how we can be together today. And I do ask that you would bless us and help us as we look at your word now. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are in the auditorium. It's taken me a while to get used to it after being in the chapel. And as I look through the doors there, I can see the beautiful chapel. And I can also see the new auditorium, and it's so lovely to have the two of them together. And to think that 110 years ago, that old chapel was built. And they built it in a day, believe it or not, on the 4th of January, 1913. And they were very keen. What a deadline they had. They had the official service for the new building the next day. So that's a hard job to do, eh? So they were working hard, and on the 5th of January, they had their first service. And unlike them, we've been working on this building for the last 16 months. And so it's been a massive project, together with COVID restrictions and supply shortages and all sorts of things. But we're so glad that it's been completed now. And yes, and so now we have the official opening, which is fantastic. And so lovely to see so many people here. Now for me, I know this new auditorium, it's nice to be in comfy seats. Better than the pews? What do you reckon? Alright, that's good. And we have this beautiful air conditioning that's a bit better than the one in the old chapel. But better than all that, I just love how we can all be together again. Because a lot of us won't know this, some of us won't know this, we've been split between the old hall and the old chapel because of COVID restrictions and because of building construction. And so it's so lovely that we can be all together again, just praising the Lord. As the chorus goes. So we have been meeting since the 1st of January. What timing by the Lord, eh? 1st of Jan, beginning of a new year, also in line with the 110th anniversary of a church being here. So it's been pretty amazing. And if you know us Bazo lot, the Bazo mob, I look at what's happened here and I go, no way. This is unbelievable. Because we are a people who are pretty conservative, and we like to save our money and give it to missionaries. So how did this happen? Tell me, how did it happen, right? Well, it happened because we didn't know what to do. I remember we were praying. We were like packed like in like sardines in the chapel. Poor family coming in, you know, they could never find any room to come in. But we prayed about it, and the Lord wonderfully directed us and guided us. And so it's all glory to him. In terms of what he's done, allowing a retired architect to come and have a look at this place and shake his head and then come back the next week saying, I've got a plan. And then getting Castle involved in the building of this wonderful facility. So I look at it all and I can't help but say those words, glory be to God. Because it sure isn't a normal Bazo thing to do something so outlandish. But that's what we have. And it's bigger than we imagine. It's actually bigger and better than we could imagine. So this is pretty phenomenal. And here we are, we can all fit in too. Look at that. We thought we might have a few people pushed out the back, but we're all in here today. Now, I want to make it clear to you all that this building is not what it's all about. It's not all about a building, is it? I hope you know that. As we come this morning, I want us to be conscious that this building is for the glory of God. It's for the honour of Christ. And it's for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's about. It's not just about a building, it's about for the glory of God, for the honour of Christ, and for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this morning I want to just go through those three main points with you. I'll be looking at some Bible verses, and I trust that God will minister to all of us as we consider his word. So the very first thing is, this auditorium is for the glory of God. It's so important we understand that. For it is he who has enabled us to build it, and even to fund it as well. And when I look at God's building works, down through the ages, I've noticed in the Bible that these building works of God have always been for His glory. Isn't that true? And that includes going right back to the beginning. When you think of the building work of God, when He built the heavens and the earth, when He built all these things, this world we live in and the universe around us, we know that He built it for His glory. We're going to read to you some wonderful verses. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 4, with all the angels around God, we read these words, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honour and power, for You created all things, and because of Your will, they exist and were created. That's how it is. The whole creation is for the glory of God. There's another little verse I've got to read to you. I think of this when I go on holiday. Enjoying God's creation. Climbing mountains, crossing rivers, whatever it is. I'm a bit adventurous. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, we read, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And we are meant to be caught up with the glory of God. And as I've been walking around this place, as I've been thinking about all the difficulties that we've had to overcome with challenges in this area, in that area, even the design area, I just can't help but look at God's hand behind it all. And I've got to say the same thing. Lord, You've built this for us. Glory be to You, for the glory of You. I get it. This is for His glory. But you know, I've got to go further than that. It would be wrong just to stop there. Even if we were still meeting in the chapel, even if we were meeting under the nice jacaranda trees out the back, we are to be living for the glory of God. What do I mean by that? We are to be praising Him, not just because of what He does for us, not just because of this nice facility, but because of who He is. He's a glorious God, and we are to do all things for His glory. You know, when I think about this place, I've written down here that this place we come to is for the worship of God. For the worship of God. It's not for entertainment. It's not to get a spiritual fix. It's for the worship of God. We are to be caught up in worship of Him. One of my favourite psalms when I think about our great God is Psalm 103. And we read there in verses 1 to 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. And then verses 8 to 12. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. This is our God. And we long to worship Him and give Him the glory. And just one verse from the New Testament, one beautiful verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, says, You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. So I want to proclaim to you all this morning, I declare this auditorium is for the glory of God. Amen and amen. And now let me consider the next main point I want to bring to you this morning. This auditorium is for the honour of Christ. Now yes, in our worship we will glorify the Father and we will glorify the Son as we sing songs, but we also know that this is to be a place where we honour Christ. And by that, I mean we proclaim His name and we proclaim His gospel. That's what it means to honour Christ. And when I think about Jesus, the one I want to proclaim, Jesus, who is He? Yes, he's God's amazing, eternal, one and only Son. I want to read to you a beautiful verse from Hebrews chapter 1. Starting at verse 1, halfway through verse 1, we read, "In these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and to whom also he made the world. He is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of his nature, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Three amazing verses that tell us who Jesus is. He's the co-creator. He's the one who sustains all things by his powerful word. He's right now sitting at the right hand of the Father. It says incredible things about our Lord Jesus. And this place is to be a place where we honour his person. This is Jesus. Not only is he the great Son of God, but we also want to have this place be a place where we honour him to be, a very special word for us, our Saviour. This is the place where we want to make a big thing about Jesus being the Saviour of the world. He came to save all if we would open our hearts to him. He's the Saviour. In Ephesians chapter 1, 7 and 8, we read, "In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of God's grace, which he lavished upon us." What a Saviour we have in Jesus. I cannot take it in that God's Son should choose to come into our fallen world, that he should take on human form, and come into a world where he would be despised and rejected, pushed out. And to think that he was still willing to live and then choose willingly, according to the Father's will, to go to the cross, to lay down his life, to die in our place, bearing the punishment of our sins, so that we could be justly forgiven and made right with God and have eternal life. In Isaiah chapter 53, 5 and 6 we read, this is what happened at the cross. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus is the Saviour, the only Saviour, and this place is to honour him, to honour his person and to honour what he's done for us. And of course he didn't just stay dead, he rose again. And we honour him as the risen, resurrected Lord who lives forever, who watches over us from the throne, interceding for us as the Word of God declares. Let me read to you those great, magnificent verses of Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 24. The Apostle Peter says, "God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by its power." Jesus conquered the grave. And what about Philippians chapter 2? A lot of you will know this one. Philippians chapter 2, 8 to 11. Verse 8 speaks about these words. It says these words, or 9 to 11, sorry. "Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is a place where we are to honour Christ for who he is, for him being the Saviour and also the Lord. That's what we want to do every Sunday, to honour Christ. And I'm so glad in our church tradition, we have communion every Sunday where we honour Christ according to what he appointed for us. We specifically remember his death for us, his incredible loving us so much that he gave himself for us, and how it's lovely to honour Christ. And also, I want to make sure that we honour Christ and his apostles in regard to something very important, and that is the message of the gospel. And the message of the gospel is not just that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again, but we are told what we are to do in order to be right with God, how to be saved. And I don't know if you noticed, but on our three arch windows out the front here, we've got some beautiful, important phrases. And they are these. Grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone. So you'll have to have a look and see. Beautifully put on the windows. Grace alone, Christ alone, and faith alone. And we want this place to be a place where we proclaim that by God's grace alone, because of God choosing to send His Son into the world, and by Christ alone, dying on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven, and by us having faith alone, not by works, not by religious activity, but by faith alone, we are made clean of our sins, made right with God, and have a personal relationship with the God of heaven and earth, who loved us so much that He gave us His Son. This is the gospel, and how we want this place to be a place we proclaim that. I declare this auditorium to be for the honour of Christ. For the honour of Christ. And my third and our final point this morning is that this new auditorium, that it would be for the filling of the Holy Spirit. For God's Spirit to be most welcome here, to come and dwell amongst us. The wonderful triune God, Father, Son and Spirit. Now I'm fascinated when I read the Old Testament about something that happened in the days of King Solomon. King Solomon made a magnificent temple, a beautiful temple, the temple of God. And I'm going to read to you what I find there in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 13 and 14. Partway through verse 13 we read, "With one voice they praised and glorified the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting, then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God." What do you reckon of that? What an amazing time when God showed His desire and pleasure to dwell with His people by coming down from heaven in the form of a bright cloud, and it filled the temple. Now, God could do that now. I know He could. But by faith, we believe that He is here, that He moves in our midst. He loves to be with His people. He's not a distant God. He's a very warm and loving God. And I love how Jesus affirmed to us these truths in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, when Jesus said, "For where two or three have gathered together in My name, there I am in their midst." There's more than two or three here today. And we've come in Jesus' name. And the Spirit of Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit, is in our midst. He's moving in our midst. And normally what that means is those who are of faith, we can sense and experience the presence and the moving of the Spirit in our life. And I love how other people can come into our church service and they sense that too, even if they're not Christians. They know there's something different here. And I just want this place to be a place where people sense and experience the living God. They sense His moving in our hearts. It's so lovely, so beautiful that God should do that. But you know, God just doesn't want to move in this building, in the midst of this building. That's just one thing. The most important thing of all is God wants to move in our hearts. He wants to fill our hearts. Not just fill a building, but to fill our hearts. He wants to come into our heart. And we do that by opening the door to Him, trusting in Jesus as my Saviour, calling on Him to save me. And then the Holy Spirit fills our hearts. And He wants to fill all our hearts. He wants to fill us with salvation and life. He wants to lift us up and fill us with peace and joy. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to come and do that wonderful work in us to transform us, to change us, from one degree of glory to another. Oh, that the Holy Spirit might find a welcome in this place, welcome in our hearts to fill us. In our Bible reading this morning, we're going to read that section again, and I'm going to bring out some comments how beautiful that reading is. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. Listen to these words. It's by grace alone, by Christ alone, that we're saved. And it says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What a hope. And then it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. There it is again. By grace, through faith in Christ alone, we're saved. But the part I want to really mention is verse 10. It goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared beforehand for us to walk in. See that? Workmanship. God wants to work in us. He wants to fill our heart and transform us by his Spirit. So I declare this auditorium to be a place for the Holy Spirit to fill us and move in our midst. What do you reckon? Alright, so, just summarising those things, as God hears me speak as well before you all, we declare together, for many of us, we declare this place, this auditorium, to be a place for the glory of God, for the honour of Christ, and for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And on our part, may we be a people who want to worship God, who want to commune with Christ, and listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us through the Word. By the way, auditorium means place of hearing. Isn't that good? So praise the Lord for this very special day. I've been longing for this day. I didn't know how it was going to pan out. It's all good. You know, I get a bit worried as well, you know, at times. So praise God. Praise the Lord that we can say today, all praise and honour be to him. I noticed in that video that Ethan did, it had Bazo Church, to the glory of God. Amen. To the glory of God. Normally what's under Bazo Church is Bazo Church? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's great to do as well. Well, we're going to stand now and sing a beautiful song. King of Kings. So please would you stand. Get ready. I'm just going to read to you from Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and who has released us from our sins by his blood. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
Let me close in prayer. Now, Father, thank you so much that we could sing some great songs today. Even that last one, we thank you that Jesus, your Son, has been made known and declared to us all to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet, as we think of that great title that Jesus has, we're so conscious also that our great Saviour humbled himself so much and died for us and bore our sin and shame so that we could be forgiven. We love and adore your Son and you, Father, who came up with this incredible plan to save us and bring us back to you. And we thank you that we're not alone. We have your Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts once we've opened our hearts to your Son. And I thank you, Father, for this place, for this day, until the coming of Jesus. We would ask you with all our heart that this would be a place for the glory of your name, for the honour of Christ, and for the filling of the Holy Spirit every Sunday as we meet. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.